Indonesian footy. Hosted by me, Sam Wykes.
And me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next gen Nijan footy stars.
Nijan footy. Nijan footy.
Listen to Nijan footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes. I am Tongan Australian and I have the privilege of sharing stories from our Pacifica sports people on this show, as well as Nijan footy and that Pacific sports show on TV. And if you've listened to us before, you'll know I'm also joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. And each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the islands. So let's get to them right now. My first one is the number one sports journalist in PNG. This is her third week in a row, so she's absolutely smashing it. Hello and welcome to Jamie Huddle.
Hello, Sam. It's great to be back for another episode. 3 weeks in a row. I mean, come on. I'm honored to be part of the show for the last 3 weeks, including today. And yeah, I'm really excited to share what's happening on the ground today.
Oh, we always have to count on the big guns. So when we call, you always answer. And that's why you are number one over there in PNG. But last time we spoke on Giam and Stapwe, one of our great games that we play on this show, you were telling us you're being held together by sticky tape. The body is falling apart. How is it this week?
To be honest, I tried all sorts of remedies to ensure that I, you know, healed up quickly before the I was needed to come and assist with the MSG Cup media work. So, yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there until the wheels fall off. You just keep going. Good job. Yeah. But let's get to my other co-host. She's a journalist. She's a TV presenter. She's also the director of rugby for Fiji. She's a former captain of Fijiana 15s. And probably the biggest one of all, she's an absolute jet setter, global trotter. It is Leilani Burns. Bulavinaka, Leilani.
Hey, Bulavinaka. Hello, Jamie. And also malolele to you, Sam. Great to be back on Fresh Off the Field.
Yeah, it's been a while. You have been very busy. You've been back and forth to the UK a fair bit with the Women's Rugby World Cup that played out a couple of months ago, I believe, but also the Flying Fijians over in the UK as well. And they take on France this week. But how's the jet lag treating you?
You know, it's actually pretty good. When I travel, I'm actually blessed that I don't really get jet lag. So, you know, just timing my sleeping, and when I get back into the country, really it's about hitting the ground running. So all good.
You obviously fly too much if you get used to that. That's what you're good at. But what's been the highlight so far on your trips?
Oh, there's been so many. I mean, obviously, from the last time we spoke when I was across with Rugby World Cup, Fijiana moving up in the world rankings and getting that win against Wales, which was really, really great. Apart from that, just recently across with the Flying Fijians, we had a cracker of a start against England. Unfortunately, the second half, we kind of let them get away from us. But yeah, it's just really great to see the level of rugby and how we're closing the gap against those big nations. So definitely a win.
Now you're doing a fantastic job, and I know it was, people might say the second half, but I'll just honestly, I'd probably say it's a lapse of maybe 10 or 15 minutes where England did get the better of Fiji, but they are closing the gap, the Flying Fijians. They are absolutely killing it, and a big shout-out to Samoa as well. So they've got a big game this week, and after getting a win last week to hopefully qualify for the Rugby World Cup. But let's get to what's coming up on the show today. We'll hear from Fiji's national darts champion, Atalini Umu, who is keen to see more women in the game.
I want to tell all the women there, the children, the single moms, and the widows, for them to come in and enjoy again.
And we'll relive one of the biggest sporting competitions in the Pacific. That's right, the PAC Champs.
It's like a universal language almost across Australia, New Zealand and the Pacific Islands. Like everyone does it. And coming up to that final between the Kiwis and Samoa, like, people were parading before Tour Samoa had even played that week, and the same goes for when Tonga were competing in PNG.
There's also news in the world of soccer, rugby league, and even Rubik's Cubes, and my favourite part of the show, obviously, our trivia and our fun and games. So, yumi go.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big, so let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or the event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on it. If it's making waves, it will be on the Coconut Wireless. And Jamie, just before we get into your story, how did I pronounce that right? Yumi Go? I still remembered from our trip from PNG a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Yumi
Staplo
Bless.
Oh, sorry. Yumi Go. Yumi Staplo Bless. But Yumi Go was the other one that I learnt over there?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I
just wanted to make sure I got that right so no one was would attack me in the comments section at some point if I got it wrong. But let's start in PNG. What have you got for us?
Obviously, this is the third time I'm talking about the Melanesian Cup. Well, finally it's happened. We had the first matches played on Tuesday. Now, on the Tuesday's match, it was a really huge privilege for our development side, Papua New Guinea under 23 men's and women's, to feature in this first MSG Cup. For the Papua New Guinea under 23 men's, it was a really good comeback for them. They made an impression on home soil, drawing 1-1 against the Vanuatu men's national team during the first group B match on Tuesday at the Sir John Guy's Stadium. And head coach Harrison Kamake said this was a great opportunity for his young side to show their prowess, especially against a team that's, filled up with a lot of national elite players from another country. And, you know, despite getting the team together in a couple of days, they managed to train and bond together. And that's how they ended up selecting the first 11 and, the first team for the first match. And, you know, showing that results, it showed that the young players are here to stay and, you know, an opportunity to play in front of their home crowd. Unfortunately for the PNG women, we had a good start in the first match when we played the Fiji women's national team. The PNG under 23 women's led 1-0 in the first half, but lost narrowly against Fiji in the second half, 2-1. But Coach Susan Steven was really impressed with how her young girls are mostly teenagers who stood up to the challenge to play against some of Fiji's best footballers, including the juniors who were also part of the squad that came to compete. So impressive results for our PNG under 23s who's played on Tuesday. And today we have our gold squad, which is the PNG couples and the PNG national women's national team that will be playing. So for PNG men's, Raymond Gunemba is set to lead the team this afternoon when they play Solomon Islands. So a very crucial match there. And for our women's, the first match up against Vanuatu. So really looking forward to the action that's going to take place this afternoon at the PNG Football Stadium.
Oh, awesome work, Jamie. And those games, who's probably impressed you the most, or who are you looking forward to seeing the most?
To be honest, I'm going for the home ground advantage. So with the PNG couples, they're the current defending champions. But I'm also looking forward to see how the Fiji men's will play in this tournament. They have some good players in the squad as well as the Solomon Islands, who are some of the best strikers and midfielders that I've seen play in the previous matches also here. So it's going to be exciting, especially for today's match between PNG and Solo.
I probably should have said with any other team except PNG, because I know obviously you're going to be supporting the hometown, of course. But yeah, some amazing matches still to play. But let's get over to you now, Leilani. What's the talk of the town in Fiji?
Well, Sam, Fiji is celebrating yet another outstanding achievement of Bray Ling Yee, and she is a Fijian track star, and she just continues to shine both on and off the track. Lee has been pursuing a Bachelor's of Business as part of her Oceania Athletics and Academic Scholarship, which is with Griffith University, and she has just again been selected for another academic honour, where she has been named the recipient of the Asia Business Internship for 2025. She's earned this opportunity in recognition of her amazing, outstanding academic performance, and at present she's currently in Seoul in South Korea. She's going to be over in Korea for the next 5 weeks, gaining valuable international experience both on the ground whilst also maintaining her full-time studies. But if you think about it, it's not just going to be all books and business for Lee. She is a dedicated scholar athlete, and she is one of Fiji's most outstanding track stars in both the 100 meters and 200 meters events. And of course, true to her passion, Yee, alongside with her coach, has identified training facilities in Seoul to continue with her structured training program whilst he's away, just to make sure that she's in top notch when she returns from her trip in South Korea. Yee is a dual international. Not only has she represented Fiji in athletics, but she actually made her debut donning the blue jersey for Fiji in karate. So she just continues to shine for her country at whatever she decides to apply herself to. And honestly, for me, looking at her, she is a shining example of an athlete from Pacific who's able to balance her life both in terms of education and sport. So for her, I just wanted her to keep on soaring and keep on achieving these amazing things out on the international stage.
Yee, you're an absolute legend. What a superstar. Can fight. She's a track star and has the brains to do whatever she wants. Keep inspiring you. You are amazing. But as always, thank you, ladies, for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, you are listening to Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, Leilani Burns and Jamie Huddle. And we are going to get to what other sport is happening across our islands. And Jamie, what's caught your eye in PNG?
Obviously, rugby is one of our national sport here. So big news out of our semi-professional competition. Kimber Cutters will not be participating in the 2026 Digital Exxon Mobil Cup. However, they have agreed to comply with the PNG NRL competition, or the board have agreed to collaborate and assist with the PNG NRLC to be compliant towards the appeal to re-enter the national competition in the next few seasons. So Kimber Cutters chairman Stephen Raphael and management team met up with PNG NRLC chairman and Adrian Chow, as well as other higher-ups, to come up with an agreement on how to keep the team in check since they've been active in the last couple of years. So Raphael said he was really grateful that this opportunity was given for them to actually do something and still show the interest that they still want to come back into the competition. So with the decision made by the PNG NRLC and PNG RFL, they're really happy, and they're taking whatever they can to ensure that they try to make it back into the competition. So it's a big news for the Cutters. However, while the Cutters have been suspended from the Digital Cup competition in the next few seasons, we have two teams that have entered. Actually, one team in place of the Western Britain team, the Kimber Cutters, the 2026 Digital Cup, Exxon Mobil Cup, will maintain the 12-club arrangement. So in place of the 12-club that is now suspended, a new team has emerged, and that is the Candes. And they will be based at the Medellin, in Medellin province. That will be their host province when they start their season next year. So it was fast this year, especially with Candes, debating about how to be involved in this competition. And they finally made their mark now with Kimber Cutters out. So
what does this mean for the players, though? Like, where can they now play or be a part of other teams? How does it work for them?
So with the Qatar's suspension from the Digital Cup, it's just about the club suspension. However, the players are free to move to other teams as per recruitment or, if any team shows interest, then the players are likely to move from one club to another. And hopefully we see some of those Kimbe Qatar's players star in the Digicel Cup or Digicel ExxonMobil Cup next season, with now the Qatar's inclusion in the season for next year.
Yeah, hopefully we see those players still doing what they love and playing rugby league in other clubs, and hopefully the Qatar's can be back in the competition in a few seasons' time, or maybe even earlier. But what have you got for us from across the Pacific?
Back to football again. This time it's for the Newcastle. I know everything about football this week. So this one is basically about the New Caledonia Under-17 Men's World Cup appearance. So unfortunately, they've exited after that draw with Japan in their pool matches. They lost heavily to Morocco in their final stage group stage match in Doha, Qatar. This also one of the additional problems that came with this loss was two red cards inside the first half that really crushed the New Caledonians' dreams of at least having a win in this last group match against Morocco. So it's a massive defeat there. It took them only 3 minutes when they started before Morocco took the lead. And, you know, when you play in a World Cup, you know that you're expecting some of the best players to emerge from the competition, such as the FIFA World Cup, and in this case for the under-17 men. So New Caledonia knew what they were up against, and especially a country that's also big with football. So it was a massive loss there for the under-17 squad, which made them bow out of the competition. And they've done for this FIFA World Cup men's under-17 men's competition. So that's for the under-17 men's. But apart from that, the elite squad, back to the MSG competition as well, the elite squad unfortunately could not make it to Papua New Guinea. A couple of delays there. So they have missed out on this year's Melanesian Spearhead Group PM's Cup here in Papua New Guinea. So it's quite unfortunate, but we're hopeful to see them appear in the next MSG Cup in the future. And also we wish the next New Caledonia Under-17 Men's squad all the best in their future endeavours.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jamie. Leilani, how about in Fiji? What have you got for us there?
Well, you know, Sam and Jamie, I cannot be on Fresh Off the Field without talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. And of course, that is Fiji rugby. So today I'm just going to give you a quick rundown on what's happening locally and with our national teams as well. So to start off with, as you know, the Fiji Water Flying Fijians are currently in Bordeaux in France as they gear up for the next round of the 2025 Quilter Nations Series. And they're playing off against the locals this Saturday, kicking off at 8:10 GMT. So make sure you all tune in for that game. The Flying Fijians had a tough opener match against England last Saturday. And as we talked about earlier, Sam, they did perform brilliantly in the first half with only a 1-point difference between the two teams come halftime. But England came back firing in the second half and capitalised off Fiji's errors to take home the win 38-18 in Twickenham. Now, in other news, we've got the Vodafone Fijiana 15s player, and that is Manugalo Komatai. She made her debut over the weekend for the Harlequins Women's. And this is, of course, in the UK Premiership Women's Rugby competition. Now, Komatai, as you know, was a standout player at the recent World Cup campaign for Fiji, and that happened earlier this year, where she made 3 appearances and she also completed 24 tackles, delivered 11 passes, and for me, she scored one of the most memorable tries of the tournament in the 51st minute against Scotland. Komatai continues to break barriers both on and off the pitch, and in case you did not know, she is also Fiji's first female soldier in the prestigious Irish Guards, which is one of the most iconic military forces. So she is one of the members of the military guard who dons the red tunic outside Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle. Now, her move to the Harlequins makes a very exciting, a new chapter in her rugby journey. And lastly, the Fiji Airways Fiji Sevens team will fly out this Sunday to Dubai for their opening round of the HSBC series. This is kicking off on the 29th of November. Now, Fiji has a strong track record in Dubai, having claimed gold against Spain last year. However, coach Colin Issal has promised to make sure that he leaves no stones unturned as the team heads into this year's series. He's had a real focus in terms of maintaining possession, which has definitely been a strength for the Fiji Airways Fiji Sevens team, and he continues to work on their play around the ruck and set pieces to also turn these into strengths. So with the key injections of players that have been from the winning Malolo team from Skipper Cup into the Sevens program, honestly, I can't wait to see what unfolds for the Fiji Airways Sevens team in this series.
Hey, with you being the director of rugby in Fiji, the inclusion of the Drua and the way the Flying Fijians are going, has it been tricky trying to balance all the formats of the game in terms of the talent pool? Because at the end of the day, there's so many talented Fijian players, but there's still not an abundance of players like living on the island trying to feed the sevens program, the women's program, the Drua, and then the national side. Has that been a bit of a challenge?
You know, I feel as though we're really in a great space for rugby in Fiji at the moment. And, you know, you talked about the Drua a little bit earlier. The Drua is a great program which provides pathways for our national sevens and also for our 15s teams. And we've really seen the player pool open up because the pathways are really, really strong at the moment, coming through from a grassroots level, heading into the Drua, and then obviously across to our national teams. And, you know, in terms of the depth of our players, it's great to see as well that not only here on the island have we got so many amazing players which are being identified from the grassroots level, but we're also getting a lot of players that have been living abroad and hasn't had the opportunity to come back and play in Fiji because there wasn't a team, for instance, like the Drua that was available during their time when they were coming up into the system. So not only are we getting a really diverse and deep player pool on the country, in the country, but we're also seeing that attraction of players coming back into the country, which is fantastic. So I'm excited by that.
Cheers, Leilani, on the rugby front. But we're going to shift over to something different. And this has grabbed my attention from across the Pacific. And I don't think I've ever really heard of this competition before, but can you fill us in on what's going on in Tonga?
Yeah, so you know me, I like to spread it around in terms of the different sports stories that we touch on each week. So regionally in Tonga, they have had the first ever Rubik's Cube competition, which happened in the kingdom 2 days ago. So the Rubik's Cube competition, or it's also known as speed cubing, is recognized as a mind sport. So basically, for you to be good at this sport, you need to have fine motor skills, hand-eye coordination, reflexes like a cat, and strategic thinking to make sure.
So that rules all. That rules all of us out then.
Yeah, pretty much. We're not going to be good at this one. So basically, the whole objective to be able to win in the Rubik's Cube competition is to be the fastest competitor to return all sides of the cube to a different solid color. So taking out the honors was 14-year-old speed cuber Rosabella Pepper, and she flew in from Ha'api and was named as Tonga's first national champion in the inaugural National Rubik's Cube competition. And this was held down in Nuku'alofa and saw 17 participants, including 11 foreign nationals from Europe, Singapore, the US, Australia, and New Zealand, all taking part. Now, only Tongan participants were eligible to win the national titles at the competition. And what that also saw was a lot of Tongan participants setting numerous national records on the day. So Pepper claimed the main 3x3x3 Rubik's Cube event and the national championship title to go in tow with that. We also had 10-year-old Melino Halapua, who went home with 3 wins. She got the 2x2x2 cuber, the pyramid, and as well as the skewerb events. Now, Halapua was very impressive in taking out the skewerb event because she only learnt the skewerb puzzle an hour before the competition start. But when she actually went into the competition, she won it with ease. And rounding off the title holders on the day was Edgar Schaaf, and he was named the national champion in the 4x4x4 event. Now, the 4x4x4 event is one of the most challenging events of the competition. So congratulations to all of the national title champions in the Rubik's Cube competition in Tonga.
In the world of all of the devices that are out there, you know, for people that can play and keep kids occupied, that is unreal to hear that Rubik's Cube still has a place where kids still want to play it and enjoy it and get frustrated over not getting the colours right. But when you hear something like that outside of just like the normal sport, Leilani, and you're reading up on this sport, how does it make you feel knowing that there's still those simple games still available?
You know, I absolutely love it. I think it's refreshing. It's great that we've got different sports and different opportunities for people to be able to participate in. You know, sometimes not everyone can be a rugby star, but if you can be a Rubik's champion, fantastic. So more power to you.
Absolutely. Perfect stuff. Really appreciate you bringing us that one. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands.
What's your favourite view where you live in the Pacific? Grab your phone or your camera and take a pic of it because Nisha Daily is running a photo competition. We're looking for photos which represent you and your part of the Pacific. Anyone can enter, you don't have to be a professional, and there are prizes up for grabs. So get snapping and send us a photo in WhatsApp of your favourite view. It's +61 437 519 385. That's +61 437 519 385. And tune in to Nisha Daily weekdays from 7 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia for all the details.
Yaman Stapwe.
All right, it's time to have a bit of fun, change it up a little bit, and get to know my co-hosts a little bit more, even though I feel like I do know them because we check in quite regularly. Plus, we're going to see he's a good liar as well. So, Jamie, I know it's going to be tough for you. This is 3 weeks in a row. Hopefully, you're prepared for Gyaman Stapwe, which is Tok Pissin' For Pick the Lie. Jamie, how are you feeling about this one? I think you're the first person to come and do three Fresh Off the Field episodes in a row, so this is going to be tough for you.
Yeah, I won last week, so I bet I can pull this one through.
Oh, okay. The confidence is high. Perfect. Well, right. Leilani, it should be easy for you because you've got so many lies in your back pocket, so you should be ready to go. As always.
Jeez, what a statement that was.
Sorry. That came out a little bit wrong. No. Like, just for the nature of the game and having context for Gyam and Stapwe. But, Jamie, let's start with you. What are your three things?
All right. My three Gyam and Stapwe points. Number one, the first time I represented PNG was during last year's Touch Footy World Cup in England. Number two, I also went there as the Team PNG media personnel. And number three, I have never represented PNG in touch footy before. Which one is the lie?
That's a good one. Here we go. I think I know where I'm going with this one. But Leilani, you can have the honours and go first.
I'm going to go with the last one because her second one was a lead into the first one because she said, I was also, you know, I was also the media person for the Touch World Cup. So I'm going to go with the last one being the lie.
Yeah, I love how you picked up on those little cues there. Well done. I'm thinking, so you haven't represented PNG, Jamie? Is that what you said?
Why do you always ask questions?
No, I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to remember. My memory's like a goldfish, so like I can't remember all of them, but I just want to ask you, is it touch footy? You haven't represented it at all.
Yeah, that was the third one.
Okay. Can you take that tone out of your voice as well, please? That'll be great. I'm going to say it is the third one as well because we would have heard about it. Surely at some point you representing PNG and you're always injured, so you wouldn't have had time to represent your country. You're in rehab too much.
Yep. Din, din, din. You guys got that right.
Yes. There we go.
I got that one always. Maybe easily. Leilani picked it quickly.
Sweet. Leilani's onto it. That's why she is the director and getting paid the big bucks. But let's go to, you know, now, Leilani, what are your three things?
Okay, so my three things is, firstly, I was in a TV commercial when I was little. Second, I hate soggy cereal. And third, I got locked out of my room once and picked the lock with a bobby pin.
Oh, wow. So you lie in your, what are you, genius around breaking into things?
Cat burglar.
Cat burglar, that's the word I'm looking for. I was going to say a thief, but you weren't really stealing anything. You were just trying to escape.
I'm not stealing anything.
No, you're trying to escape.
If it's the truth, it's just, like I said, out of my room once. So
were you living in Fiji at the time?
I'm not giving you any more information.
No,
Sam.
that's crucial information on what type of lock will be on a door as opposed in Australia and compared to Fiji, because it'll be easy to pick the lock in Fiji. Sometimes it's just a curtain, you pull it across, and that's the door. But but Jamie, what are you thinking?
I'm going with the first one and third one sounded like it's a true, like you've already done it before. I'm going to go with the second one. You don't like soggy cereal.
I love soggy cereal. I think it's amazing. Oh, maybe Weet-Bix, I think they have to be soggy. Mm-hmm. Everything else can be crunchy. But dry Weet-Bix, nah, no good. No good.
No.
I know that I'm pretty sure she's been in a commercial. Surely she has. TV star over in Fiji on all the ads over there on the billboards. I am thinking, my hams are moving. I don't know what I'm thinking, but I'm just going to go with number three. You didn't break out of your room using a bobby pin. No way. That's only in the movies.
First of all, can I just say, what's wrong with you? Soggy cereal is disgusting. That's the first one.
No, Weet-Bix have to be soggy. There's no way you can have that.
You gotta have the balance of the nice cold milk with the honey and the crunch of the Weet-Bix. So, that's a trick.
I like my baby food when it comes to that one.
And yeah, no, I did lock myself out of my room one time and had a quick search up on YouTube and found how to open it up with a bobby pin. So that's the truth. The lie is I've never been in a TV commercial when I was little.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, actually got it for once.
Oh wow, so you're more of an adult star, not a childhood star.
Not a child star, not at all.
Okay, and then you found out how to pick a lock. So how long ago are we talking?
We're talking about a month or two ago.
You're joking.
Three months ago. Yeah. It was great. I'm like, yes, I got that life hack now under my belt. If I ever get locked bedroom again, I know how to do it.
Okay, can I get that YouTube link sent to me after the show, just to have handy at some point. I might have to...
I don't know if I'll do that, Sam, because today, just on the show alone, you called me a liar and a cat burglar.
I need it just in case my wife locks me out of the house at some point, you know, for coming home late after having a bit of fun. So I need to get into the house at some point. So please send that through. But as always, thank you so much for playing. We learn something new every week.
Join Natasha Metin for Sisters Let's Talk, a program that explores issues that are in the hearts and minds of Pacific women.
We went through a whole lot of training. We gave the women all this information so that those who chose to become candidates would do up their platform to suit the needs of the women on the ground here in Bougainville.
Sisters Let's Talk, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, you're here listening to Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, Leilani Burns and Jamie Huddle. And we're going to get to our interviews right now because we always talk about the latest news and we always love to hear from some of the talented people in the Pacific. Leilani, who did you catch up with?
Well, Sam, I had a chat with Atalini Umu, who took out the women's title for the National Darts Championship of Fiji. And we had a bit of a chat about how she got involved in the sport.
It was my late husband, William Umu, who introduced me to darts in 2014, from there.
And so since 2014 up until now, 2025, you've been playing the sport for 11 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us, what do you enjoy most about the sport?
The people, the friends, the teams, yeah? They are born together in playing this game. I really enjoy the darts.
And apart from doing darts, what has been your journey?
I'm a housewife. I stay home, look after my house. We got no children. There's a family there to look after me.
And being able to play darts, you know, how does that make you feel?
It brings me all memories of him. So that's why I'm here today. I enjoy every game, every moment of it till now.
Yinaka. And tell us a little bit about, you know, you've been playing for the past 11 years. What has been some of the biggest challenges that you have personally endured?
I won one national in 2017.
So this is the second time that you've walked away with the national championships. That's amazing. And what advice would you give to other women and girls that are looking at taking up the sport?
For them to... I want the less ladies, I want them to come and support us. Join us. It's a beautiful game. It's a lovely game. Come, relax, enjoy yourself in this game. But in the end of it, you can make it. You can get one, a win, national women's. So... I want to tell all the women there, the children, the single moms, and the widows, for them to come and enjoy again. Pinaka.
And you took up the sport a little bit late into your career.
Yes.
And for those that are more matured athletes, what would your advice be to them?
For them to come and enjoy. If they don't want to play, just join. Support. That's it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Great advice. And you also represented Fiji. And you represented for the first time at the South Pacific Darts Championship that happened back in January. What did it mean to you to be able to step out in the blue and white and represent Fiji?
I'm proud of myself to represent Fiji. And I won 3 single games. And I'm proud of what I'm proud for is... I beat the number one champion in Niue.
And she's the regional champion?
Yeah, in Niue. So I beat her.
That's amazing. Congratulations. What a wonderful achievement.
Thank you, Lani.
Naka.
I'm proud of myself as a Fijian girl.
And we are proud of you as well for being able to beat her.
Nadia.
And also, of course, the national champion.
Looking
it's amazing.
Looking forward to 2017.
Yes. Thank you. To the Cook Islands, huh? And lastly, you know, tell us, you know, what legacy would you like to leave behind from the sport?
I want to be next year's champion. The following years, I want to be...
Keep on winning.
Yes, and this week I caught up with Seni Yasona, who is the digital producer for ABC Pacific, and he gives us an inside look at what it's like to upload some of the amazing content and stories from the Pacific Champs in the Rugby League tournament that just happened.
The Pacific Champs are really unique in the sense that it's like happening in different states in Australia, obviously over in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and then the Pacific Bowl was in PNG this year. So the variety of people and the fans and how those fans interact with visiting teams was really fun to watch as Panina and Dinah, the other producer for ABC Pacific, as they kind of gathered and sent that through. Yeah, and there was kind of that like subtle rivalry between fans in New Zealand and fans in Australia, and whether Samoan fans in New Zealand went harder for Tor Samoa when they arrived than the fans in Brisbane when they arrived. And, you know, like you see that stuff kind of pop off on socials when you're putting that up. I remember putting up a video of Tor Samoa arriving in New Zealand, and there were fans there, but not as many fans as some would have expected. And so we put that up, and people in the comments were like, oh, sad New Zealand, you guys are sad to Tor Samoa.
Man, well, do you know what? It's actually a really good point that I want to that you bring up, and then I want to ask, how do you get the balance right of the content that you put up to make sure that it is sort of balanced, but you still want to have people's opinions? But we've seen in some of the other comment sections where it has actually got a little bit heated, but there's also a lot of love there as well. But so how do you get that balance right on what goes up?
Yeah, I think as kind of each game represents itself, the fans kind of provide that balance, and we've got to just make sure that we're kind of in every corner to capture both Tonga and Samoa as equally as possible, because I know for sure that if we didn't cover Samoa enough or Tonga enough or PNG enough, those fans or those communities would definitely come for us in the comments. Yeah. Like, what are you up to, ABC Pacific? Is this ABC Samoa? We've seen that, you know?
Yes.
So, got to be mindful of that. And then, being behind kind of the ABC Pacific curtain, we've got to moderate those comments that are kind of coming through. And so you see that kind of interaction between communities. And for the most part, they're pretty civil. But yeah, just got to keep an eye out for those, like, those triggered moments.
Man, there was plenty of positive stuff that came out of the Pacific Champs and ABC Pacific. The content team did an amazing job of providing that and giving everyone an inside look at what's actually happening around the games, off the field and on the field. But it's grown so much. You know, what does it mean to yourself or to our people across the Pacific to actually have content live and accessible and in your face and just enjoying that, yes, there's a spotlight on our tiny islands?
Yeah, I think this year, you could kind of, because we covered Pac Champs last year and then obviously again this year, and kind of having those two experiences, I could definitely feel the kind of vibe be turned up this year. Like, people, it felt like, were far more engaged, not only in the content that we were gathering and putting out to the audience, but like you could see them turn out on like Tonga fan days, Tua Samoa fan days. You look at the Pacific Bowl when PNG would be playing, that stadium would just be packed with PNG fans. So I think, yeah, as Pac Champs has kind of continued to grow over the years and people have become more familiar with who's competing and what they're competing for and what that looks like, people are a bit more invested in not only the teams but in the content that we're sharing too. And the likes of Panina and Dinah do a really great job of not just getting the teams but the fans and the communities that rally behind them to get them there on game day and to support them all the way through.
And what about those classic off-field moments of, like, they say the parades? We saw Tonga in Tonga over there, Nuku'alofa, shutting down the streets over there, the parades of Samoa over in PNG as well, like absolute craziness. Like, what's been your favourite bit of content to put out over the last few weeks?
The parades definitely are something really fun to watch. It's kind of like a universal language almost across Australia, New Zealand and in the Pacific Islands. Like, everyone does it, whether you're in New Zealand, Australia or the Pacific. And coming up to that final between the Kiwis and Samoa, like, people were parading before Tua Samoa had even played that week. And the same goes for when Tonga were competing in PNG. And so, yeah, that's people. It kind of brings out this, like, I don't want to say, this is the only word that comes to my mind, but it's kind of like this, like, feral, energetic side of people where they just
feral,
like,
energy. That's the
feral
first,
energy.
Feral energy.
Where they just,
I was, like, going to say excited energy.
Yeah, but it's a bit more than excited. They just, like, go, like,
they go nuts.
Yeah. It's like no one else matters. It's like them, their car, and their flags, and like that's all that it's about. And some, like, crazy music that I've never heard of, but that they love. And so they send it on the streets. And I think in Samoa, they might have sent it too hard the weeks before, that Samoa police were like, nah, no more parades. You guys are going to have to fly.
Wave your flag from your driveway.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, there's the whole thing of, like, do it safely and righty, righty, right. But those pieces of content are always fun to put together and then let the audience engage with as well, because everyone knows what parades mean, especially when their national teams are playing. Like, that's what they're there for. That's what they're there to do.
I saw someone, someone's post at one of the Tongan parades in Sydney where they had a pig, and it wasn't cooked yet, in the front seat with them.
Oof.
And it was going out the window. So, like, you just go,
see, that's stuff, feral energy.
Feral energy. So feral, that's what energy. You're talking about.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Was there anything that couldn't make the content because it was just a bit too feral, but it made you laugh, that you could potentially share or provide some context around that comes to mind?
Nothing that was too feral. I feel like I think the special thing with ABC Pacific is you can kind of, we just kind of push the boat out as far as possible and let the community do the talking. If it's like, nah, you guys are done for that, then we probably won't do that again. But
yeah.
it wasn't so much that. It was like, I remember on finals day, it was Panina, Dinah and I at Combank, and we were just getting stuff left, right and centre, whether it was fans, whether it was the halftime performance from Matavai, like just there were things coming in left, right and centre. The Cookies obviously played beforehand for their World Cup qualifier. So it wasn't a matter of the type of content. It was just like there was so much in a short amount of time. And I think we're hoping to get that out over the next week. Like we've got, I don't know his last name, but Tim, the guy that went out with Tor Samoa in his...
Oh, Tim Lafay?
Yeah, that's it.
Still looks like he can play. Oh, he is shredded. Holy. Yeah.
So Dinah did an interview with him. And so that will come out this weekend. I think we wanted to give some time for Tor Samoa fans just to, I guess, grieve and have a bit of a moment to sit in the loss, and then we'll give them Tim to hopefully bring the energy back up.
Was Tim's shirt off?
Tim's shirt was off. The baby oil was baby out. Oil was, you know, all the classics.
So. Shining like a bright light. How good is that?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talk around eligibility, and maybe some people who aren't of Pacific heritage understand what it means to the players to represent their country. Like, how does our the storytelling and how does our content help paint a picture of the reasons why and why it means so much to the players to represent their heritage and their families?
Yeah, I think the that discussion isn't so much a problem for Pacific Island audience. They have an understanding and know why these players are coming to Tor Samoa or Tonga to represent. That wider discussion, I think, which you guys are having on shows like these and on that Pacific Sports Show, those discussions are important in like the Australian or New Zealand context, where you've got commentators or people observing the game and players who don't necessarily have an understanding of that strong cultural and heritage link for the players. And so, yes, I think it's an important discussion to keep having amongst our audience, but I think they're pretty already much sold on that idea.
Yep.
It's the more broader sense of, or the more broader audience beyond the Pacific, like here in Australia or in New Zealand, where maybe that's something a bit more hard to fathom. And hopefully with the storytelling that you do and that we do, will help convince these guys.
Absolutely killed it, ladies. Thanks for bringing those stories in. Some wonderful chats from our talented people from across the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, it's time to play Fresh Off the Dome. Before we finish up, it's always about playing Quizmaster and testing our knowledge of sport in the Pacific. And every week I'll ask three questions and Jamie and Leilani, they'll use their name as their buzzer. And of course, if you think you know the answer at home, let's play along and have some fun too. So let's get into Fresh Off the Dome. Question number one, Fiji-born Varun Vimlesh made history over the weekend by winning four medals for Australia at the World Powerlifting Championships in South Africa. Name the three lifts involved in powerlifting.
Jamie.
Oh, go for it, Jamie. Powerlifter yourself. I know you're nice and strong. lift a bit of tin around in PNG.
So my best guess, you said name three of those lifts?
Yeah, name three of those lifts. And I will take two if you can get two, but we'll go three first.
I'm going to say deadlift and bench press.
Not bad, not bad. And can you give me one more? I know you've got, if you can get deadlift and bench, you know you can get the other one.
Nah, that's the only two I have.
The squat. But we'll take that one. I'll give that as a tick. That's 1 point for you, Jamie. Leilani, you still there? Just checking.
Yeah, I was going to actually answer it, but you know, you went to the two instead of the three, so what can I do?
Oh, that's sorry. I should have actually gave you that opportunity because I know that you're a big power lifter. What was your favorite one out of those three?
Bench. Oh, not bench. I liked the squat.
Okay. Jamie, what's your favorite one out of those three?
Squat and the deadlift.
I can't believe both of you went for the lower body lifts. More of an upper body person, you know. My chicken legs just didn't squat or deadlift that well. But anyway, let's get to question number two. Last week, Tonga Netball Association hosted the country's first international netball tournament as part of national celebrations for the anniversary of Tonga's constitution. Closest to will win this one. What number anniversary was Tonga celebrating?
Leilani.
Go for it, Leilani.
Let's go 80 years.
Jamie, what are you thinking?
Ooh. 20?
Jamie?
What?
20 years. So Tonga's celebrating their anniversary of Tonga's constitution. And you've gone 20 years. That's definitely not you. Okay, I'm going to give this one to I want to give this one to Leilani. It was 150 years.
Oh.
So 150 years, okay. The kingdom. Man, it cool. Cool. Is that all you've got? Just cool.
I learn something every day.
Don't steal my line. But it is 150 years since signing of the Constitution. It's one of the oldest in the Pacific, and you can hear how Tonga celebrated on Pack Beats, wherever you get your podcasts. But there you go. A little bit of disrespect from the two ladies. I'm just going to say it out there. I'm only joking. Not here
at all. Sorry for not knowing that. All our Tongan brothers and sisters there.
All good. But let's get to question number three, because it is one apiece, so please, let's not go to a tiebreaker. Someone win it here. Question number three. New Zealand-born Cook Island boxer Alana Tuteru has won the vacant Women's International Boxing Association World Heavyweight title in New Zealand, becoming the first ever Cook Islander to win the WIBA World title. What is the maximum number of rounds in boxing?
Leilani.
Oh, who was first there? I think that was Jamie.
Is it kickboxing or amateur boxing?
Just
general.
Just the maximum round in boxing. Maximum round you can have in boxing. Whether it be amateur, whether it be professional, just the maximum round you can have in boxing.
Okay, so if it's amateur, it's 3. Professional, I would say 10, so I'm just going to go with pro and say 10.
Okay. Leilani, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'd agree as well. So if it's professional women's boxing, I think it goes to 10 rounds. And if it's non-title fights, I think the max is 8.
So if I'm thinking about the maximum amount of rounds in boxing, just when you think not men's, women's, just the maximum in general, you're both going to say 10.
Yep. I'm going with that, locking it and saying.
I'm trying to give the answer away here.
Okay, I'll change it. I'll change it.
You obviously do not watch any boxing.
I watch the women's boxing.
My brain is not working.
If we go with men's, I think it's 12.
Let's give you the win here, Leilani. It is 12 rounds, with each round lasting 3 minutes. The original limit used to be 15, but yeah, the question, what is the maximum number of rounds in boxing? So just across the board, and it is 12 rounds. But there you have it. There you have it. Man, that was painful. Painful. That's fresh off the dome.
Sam, it is finally me getting a win on the board. So as painful as it was for you to you listen take to it. That, I will take that.
Take
win.
It. Hey, a win's a win. Absolutely. What's the saying? It's better to lose ugly than win pretty. That's how I live my life and live my career. So, hey, take those wins when they come. But that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, sports journalist in PNG. Thank you to us, Jamie Huddle.
Thank you to us, Sam, and Vinaka Leilani. I had a lot of fun in this episode. Hopefully I don't return next week. But yeah, thank you so much for today. And yeah, have a great day.
Are you back on next week, Jamie? Should I put you in the schedule to just get you on for a fourth week and just have a good run into Christmas? What do you say?
Yeah, it's not fair. You know, I want to hear some of our other colleagues to, you know, have fun on the show as well.
Hey, life's not fair. So it is what it is when you're the number one journalist in PNG. You get all the work coming your way. But well, we'll see what happens for next week. But let's get to my other co-host, to say thank you, former Fijiana player, now TV presenter, and much, much more, Leilani Burns. Minaka Vakalevu.
Minaka Vakalevu, Sam, and thank you too much to my sister, Jamie. Always a pleasure to be on the show with the both of you.
Both of you killed it, and also thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with maybe Jamie, maybe not, but probably two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.